It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of the program, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh has long been lauded as a city which has successfully transitioned from its industrial past into a leader in technology and innovation. While the education and medicine economy, commonly referred to as EDS and MEDS, is garnering praise, can the region truly be a 21st century metropolis if the workforce and neighborhoods don't reflect the cultural diversity of our nation? This question might have been the impetus in a number of local advocacy organizations teaming up to create the Pittsburgh Regional Diversity Survey. Joining me in studio to address what it says about the city, our president and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh, Melanie Harrington, who was recently recognized as one of the Post-Gazette's people making their mark in Pittsburgh for 2016. Melanie Harrington, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Also making a return visit to the program is a man continuing to make his mark in the Steel City, Doug Hoik, director of Pittsburgh Today. Doug, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Marcus.
So how does your workplace, neighborhood, and the region stack up when it comes to cultural diversity? You can give us a call at 412-246-2002, send us a tweet at ESSPGH, or email us at ESSPGH@WESA.FM. Melanie and Doug, the last time you were here was September, and you're here to encourage people to take part in the survey. Now, over 3,500 people responded, and the breakdown came out to 78% of those who took the survey were white, 13% black, 4% Hispanic or Latino, 3% Asian, and 2.1% of mixed race. Was the response greater or less than you expected?
We were really happy with the response. The diversity of the response is actually greater than the diversity in the Pittsburgh region. So that gave us, I think, a significant enough sample of people to get a good feel and flavor for how people of difference are experiencing the Pittsburgh region.
I was shooting for 5,000 people. I was by far the outlier among our kind of broad group, but we were pushing for high numbers, and basically everyone was happy. In fact, many people were surprised that we had over 3,500 people.
Okay. Now, Melanie, you were saying that the response was great, and your reaction was, you're happy with the number of people, but it's interesting that it was greater than the amount of diversity in the city.
So, I mean, we because it was a diversity survey, we wanted to make sure that we were able to get enough diverse people into among the respondents, so that we heard from them what their experiences are. So we tapped into the different diverse community groups, what we call affinity groups, a number of which work with Vibrant Pittsburgh. We went to employee resource groups. We spoke with chief diversity officers. So we really made a concerted effort to reach and tap into those communities. So,
yeah.
We at the beginning, there were discussions. We initially were thinking that this would be a survey only for the kind of minority population. And then we decided, no, you know, we'll include the, you know, majority population too, and we'll learn things by the comparison of the results. So it's been a long and interesting, complex process, and we're very pleased with the result. The fact that we were able to kind of oversample minorities just kind of adds to the credence, the weight of the results, I think.
How long did it take to put the survey together, to come up with the questions?
It took quite a while. Because it was such a collaborative process, we wanted to engage business folks and community people, the coalition of different organizations that work with us through the Regional Workforce Diversity Indicators team. So I would say over almost 6 to 8 months?
Yeah, it just seems longer. No. At about this time last year, we released phase one of our project, which looked at the minority participation in the workforce and wages and concentrations, et cetera. And as soon as we finished that, we turned our attention to the survey. And yeah, I'd say 6 to 8 to 9 to 10 months, something like that.
So is the survey phase two? Will there be a phase three to this process?
I think we're creeping into phase three right now. Part of phase three is to make sure that this is not information that just sits on a shelf, that we are catalyzing and mobilizing the community to now act on the information that we have provided. This is a baseline that people can use to see, are we here with what's happening in our community and our organizations? or are we better? Over time, they can measure and see, are we having some improvement? So we want people to continue to talk about this. We want everybody to be informed and educated. We want people to understand how this really has an impact on our economic competitiveness as a region. So this is part of meeting with you is a part of our effort to create a campaign, a broad scale understanding and action around around what we know to be true here in the region.
And the action is, you know, kind of in the court of everybody. In other words, the survey has a lot of interesting results. And one of the things that, you know, it's not the purview of XYZ nonprofit to figure this out. It really is, it's something that needs to be embraced by the region as a whole, to be kind of countenanced, be made aware of. And then we need to kind of make this a place where we do embrace more diversity, where we're more welcoming, even though people are very friendly here. It's, in other words, it's something for employees, employers, everyone to be aware of and start to make a difference.
Now, I was reading the article, Doug, where you said there's a big difference between welcoming and inclusion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Pittsburgh is famously friendly. I mean, that's true. And people notice it. You know, it's one of the hallmarks of our nature. People tend to live here, though, for a long time. People, this is not a transient city. People have been here a long time. They have their social patterns set generally. So while they're very friendly, they already, you know, might, for instance, have their friend group and be less likely to be, you know, reaching out to include others. And that goes for, you know, white people with white people, and it goes for white people with minorities and vice versa. So being aware of that, being aware that even though we may have lived here and we go to the same, you know, place, church, whatever, restaurants, mm-hmm. It'll be helpful to people to realize that it's in our interest to literally go more than halfway and make people mm-hmm. of all kinds feel welcome here.
Well, do you think some of that remoteness is not only because people have always lived here, but Pittsburgh geographically is kind of remote in some respects. Do you think that plays a part?
I think that plays a part in why we have the situation of, you know, why we have relatively less diversity, racial and ethnic diversity. I mean, we're not a coastal city. Coastal cities tend to have many more immigrants and people just kind of coming over the transom. I think, though, just to digress for a second, I mean, the reason we are in a situation where we have relatively, you know, fewer, lesser diverse population, it's not something that's in the water here. It's something really, if you look at the last 40 years from 1975 to 2015, that was the time when Asian and Hispanic immigration to the U.S., in one case, it increased fivefold and another tenfold. And those were the years that Pittsburgh, because of its relatively moribund economy, was basically out of business and didn't have jobs to offer. So geographic isolation has something to do with it, but there are bigger forces at play.
Okay. It doesn't explain everything, though, because when you look at the diversity survey data coupled with the Behind the Times data, which looks at diversity representation in our workforce, we do see some considerable concerns around African-American representation, mm-hmm. African-American experiences, that is how people say they are experiencing the Pittsburgh region. And consistently, there's underrepresentation, particularly in growing industries, but also there is a stronger feeling of a lack of commitment among either the community or the workplace in diversity. There is a feeling that I don't feel like I have a sense of belonging in my workplace. And I think these are important things to consider. Consistently, most minority groups say they don't feel the same sense of belonging in their workplace mm-hmm. as their white counterparts. This is all incredibly important because that belonging is a reflection of something much deeper. And when we work a lot with job seekers and the work that we do. And what we hear over and over again is, I'm not sure that this is going to be a place where I can advance in my career. And what the diversity survey also pointed out is one of the number one reasons selected by people for as a reason for leaving the region is if I cannot advance here. So this issue that the survey is showing about a feeling of not feeling belong, like I belong, this issue of not getting being able to socialize either across racially, ethnically, differences, not fitting into people's homes, cross differences, and also wondering if I'm going to advance here, all really contribute to the diversity retention issues that will impact our ability to attract more diversity.
And does that give you a blueprint as President CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh of the challenges you need to address? How do I start making a blueprint to overcome these hurdles? Let's take this step and move this step and move forward.
Well, it's certainly instructive to Vibrant Pittsburgh. But more importantly, it should be instructive to the broader community. Because Vibrant Pittsburgh can only do, we are a small component of this. It's why we are doing the study collaboratively. It will take the entire region, its institutions, its communities, its individuals, making a choice to operate differently, to make decisions of hiring, promotion, funding, contracting, socializing differently. If it is our natural nature to want to socialize with same, and within these networks that we create for ourselves, we have only sameness, homogeneousness in those, and then we only select from that network to make hiring decisions, contracting decisions, etc., then we will continue to get what we've always gotten. If we are going to get something different because we need to as a region in order to achieve our own economic competitiveness aspirations, we want to grow as a region. In order to grow, we have to be more diverse. Then what we will have to do is make some different personal decisions about who we surround ourselves with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Doug, as director of Pittsburgh Today, you mentioned that there were some results of the survey that really surprised you. What were those?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of things that I found interesting. I mean, and I would suggest in a digest we can go over some, but I want to just say, I want to recommend that people go to the website and read it and look at the actual, the 53 or 54 questions. It's at pittsburghtoday.org. I mean, one interesting thing that surprised me was, and Melanie touched on this, was that the number one reason people chose among a possible six or seven answers as to why they might leave the region was lack of wages or advancement. Now, on the good side, that's something that can be addressed. It was not social matters or other things, you know, trailing spouse, et cetera. So that was one thing. I thought it was interesting. There were differences among the white group and the minority group as a whole, but there were also very interesting differences among the minority groups. And for our purposes, the minority groups were African Americans, Asians, Hispanics, and multiracial people. Though we did kind of ask other questions, those were the four main minority groups. And as Melanie pointed out, and this was not as surprising to me, the African Americans, because we've done a lot of work on racial disparities here, and whites and African Americans obviously are by far the two biggest demographic groups. The African Americans were the least happy and most dissatisfied, kind of across most of the questions. I mean, there may be some anomalies there. Yeah. The Asian respondents were the most, you know, the happiest, although there were often disparities between Asian and white responses. Often, sometimes they were close. Hispanics were kind of, so it kind of went Asian, Hispanic, and then multiracial and African American. There was generally a big difference. So we're at a place where, again, we realize that we need to work, you know, together to make it a better place to live for our African Americans, because the context of this whole thing and the reason, you know, we got started is the Allegheny Conference, for instance, looking at the numbers of retiring baby boomers and looking at the number of workers who are in the current workforce, they foresee up to a 140,000 worker shortfall. Now, it probably won't be that bad because when jobs become available, you know, it's a fluid, mobile labor is mobile, so people will move here. But this is, we're an anomaly here. We need more people. And the population in the nation as a whole of white people is expected in real numbers to drop by 10%, birth rates, deaths, et cetera, over the next 40 years. So we need to attract all sorts of people, but we also need to get much better at attracting minorities as well.
What do you say to the headlines that regarding this survey that said, it's kind of a privileged glimpse of the obvious. Pittsburgh has a diversity problem. No surprise there. Can we work past that?
If you look at the headline and say, oh, I already know that, then you're missing the point of really why we were doing this, which really is to see how the shoe fits and to kind of learn and understand how we can change the problem. So it's really not enough to simply look at the headline. You really should read the questions and understand because, again, it's, you know, everyone's individual if it,
And I also think that the data, if you read it, there's so much more data than we were able to pack into the report. And not only did we look at the racial and ethnic differences, we also looked at foreign-born, we looked at LGBT populations, we looked at age differences, education differences. And so you can look in that data and get a glimpse of how people are experiencing the region differently. The other thing is it may help you figure out where you want to devote your resources, what kinds of different things you may need to do inside your organization or in your community. And I keep harping on this issue of advancement because it is a place where people can immediately begin to do some work. So now we know this is an issue. It is a feeling that's being shared by younger generations as a group. By minority groups, across the different minority groups. And so it's an area that where we can tackle. What does that mean? That means, you know, looking at ways you can work with your employee resource groups on developmental opportunities and experiences. What that means is our key organizations that have access to these leadership opportunities can reach into diverse community groups and sponsor people, advocate for them for these leadership opportunities. These are some real tactical things that people can do. And Vibrant Pittsburgh has created its diversity and inclusion best practice page. People can go there and look at different solutions and best practices to actually deploy today.
Okay. We're going to continue our look at the Pittsburgh Regional Diversity Survey results with Melanie Harrington, President and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh, and Doug Hoik, Director of Pittsburgh Today. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of Essential Pittsburgh, in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh at 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of the program, in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're addressing the region's views on diversity as compiled by the Pittsburgh Regional Diversity Survey with President and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh, Melanie Harrington, and Doug Hoik, Director of Pittsburgh Today. Now, Jasmine on Twitter writes, she asks, how can the Asian American and Pacific Islander community feel more welcome and present at the forefront of Pittsburgh diversity conversations? There is a difference between Asians from abroad and Asian Americans. Seems obvious, but it's not. It may need approaches to each group. It may need unique approaches to each group. Are you working with, say, the Latino Chamber of Commerce and LGBT groups and more inclusive groups to make the city more culturally aware and diverse?
Yeah, and Jasmine, thank you for your question. I think that there needs to be overall greater awareness of all of our different communities. The Asian American community is a fast-growing community here in the region. It's actually larger than our Latino community. It's a very diverse community with with this group, we like to use the label of Asian American, but within that family of communities are Chinese Americans and Korean Americans. There are people who are generationally been in the U.S. and have moved to Pittsburgh for school and opportunity and jobs to start firms and everything. And then there are people who are transplants from other parts of the globe who have migrated or immigrated to the Pittsburgh area for all kinds of opportunities. And I think within the group, where there is great opportunity is for cross-community and cross-group, cross-affinity group activities. And so when you see this cross-cultural interaction through all kinds of activities and celebrations, messaging, there is a great opportunity for people to realize who is currently in our community, for resources to pour into those communities, et cetera. So I think that's a great question.
We can't look at it as a one-size-fits-all.
No.
Okay. Now, since taking office, Mayor Bill Peduto has expressed a strong commitment to diversity in his administration, as well as welcoming people from different cultures to the city. Do you see his leadership as one of the cornerstones of making the city more culturally diverse?
So one other thing, and I'll be short, one other thing about things about growing your population, growing your workforce with a focus around when you know you have a lack of diversity and you have to increase that diversity. Every benchmark, every other successful region that has done this, turned this around, has had at the forefront political leadership. So yes, it is critically important to the achievement of this goal to have such full-throated kind of support and leadership from both our mayor and our county executive.
Doug, you're going to say
something? Yeah, I was just going to say, Rich Fitzgerald also has, you know, is on the same page, and I think both of them are doing well leading efforts. And again, it's because people realize when they look at, you know, the numbers here, that it's in all of our interest to really become more embracing of, you know, of a wider spectrum of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doug, you have looked at, as director of Pittsburgh Today, you have really held a mirror up to this city, looking at the good and bad aspects of it. You've inspired some conversations we've had here on the program, especially when it comes to race and diversity here. And it is a topic that gets people going here in the city. Do you feel because of the city's smaller size, we might have a better chance at moving forward and overcoming some of the challenges
in general, I think one of the great things about Pittsburgh is that we are smaller. We have the history. You can look back and all sorts of challenges, et cetera, from disasters to, you know, fires, floods, et cetera. I mean, this is a place where people can solve problems, and people identify with their city here more than they do in other places. As I mentioned, it's not transient. It matters to people here what happens here. They feel civically, you know, involved. And I think we need to, I mean, what we're doing this to bring about awareness, to kind of get that big ball, you know, rolling, to, you know, put our minds to work on this and our efforts to work. So, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh is a place where things can be solved.
Looking at the questions that you didn't survey, it took you a long time to come up with those. Will you do another survey somewhere down the road and kind of rejuggle the questions, rethink how you want to approach people?
I would love to circle back, you know, and over time to take a look to see, have we made any progress? Have there been any improvements? Are the experiences that people are expressing the same, or are they better? And has our diversity representation in the workforce, has it changed? Is it improved? Are we still at the bottom of the pack, or have we moved towards the middle, or, you know, hey, at the top? So I hope we can.
We will be following up on the, you know, the number, minority numbers in the workforce, wages, and we will be following up on the percentage of the population comprised by minorities. So that's something Pittsburgh Today will keep doing.
Does the change come from the top down? You have the city's leaders. You have Grant Oliphant, the most powerful man in Pittsburgh, leader of the president of the Heinz Endowments. And I know a lot of leaders of Pittsburgh have been looking into poverty in the southwestern region. So is this another issue that if we get people from the top, the powerful people in the city, making a commitment to this to see some things changing here, is that a good place to start?
I think it's a good place. I mean, it's a necessary element to have the leadership involved, and I think that they are, by and large, engaged. But again, the reason we hope, you know, people read this, and when Melanie mentioned, you know, the data, I'm the data guy here, and data, you know, generally, for better or worse, you know, kind of puts people to sleep and kills them. Mm-hmm. But these questions are actually very interesting. You know, for instance, one question, are you tired of hearing about diversity? It's very interesting, the answers. But we need more people. I mean, this needs to affect, I mean, the Allegheny Conference, which is a consortium of big employers, I think that's 22% of the workforce. I mean, the rest of the 78 is small companies, you know, other mid-sized companies. I mean, the people who are running those companies, the people who are in HR, the person who's looking to hire somebody, and the person who's looking to, you know, have a cocktail party. I mean, this is where it needs to become part of the ether around here.
And that's Doug Hoek, director of Pittsburgh Today. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of Essential Pittsburgh, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Melina Harrington, president and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh. You said in our last segment there was data that could not get in. Now, Doug, you just said you were the data guy, but what data could not get into the survey?
Well, it's not that it couldn't get into the survey. It's that we have a report here, beautifully designed, and you know, this
full
is
color
something,
and graphics,
yeah,
everything
by Jennifer McNulty, who did a great job. Anyway, it's not that it didn't get in. It didn't get into this essentially digest. I mean, with 54 questions, looking at, you know, five different kind of demographic groups: race, ethnicity, age, sex, you know, education level, wealth, foreign-born, U.S.-born. There are a lot of fascinating breakdowns that, you know, we just couldn't put in all the print, but it's all on the website, pittsburghtoday.org.
And we will have a link to that on our website, Essential Pittsburgh at WESA.FM. Melanie, with attracting people and retaining people to Pittsburgh in light of looking at these surveys, again, we talked about this being a blueprint and some of the challenges that you have to overcome. What's next for you with, you know, this phase of, you have the survey next, now moving forward, where do you want to go with?
So this feature I was telling you on the Vibrant Pittsburgh website around diversity best practices, what we have loaded onto that site is a kind of roadmap that people can use to think about some action steps that they can take to begin to address some of these issues. And also, we have a whole host of employers that have joined with us because they see the importance of growing the diversity of our region. And so what we have to do as a collective of both communities, community groups, and employers is be willing to try some things, perhaps fail, but this is all part of the journey that we have to be willing to take together. We have to be committed to the long-term commitment that it requires, that this is mostly, if not all, about the journey as opposed to the just the destination. We can't take our foot off the pedal, if you will, around this, because we'll lose momentum. I think the encouraging thing that I feel, having been here in Pittsburgh now for 5.5 years, is that there does seem to be an increasing dialogue, increasing conversation. The survey says that people feel that there is a that their organizations are talking about this. We're getting training. There's a difference in terms of what I feel around commitment around this, and that probably is just how people are feeling it, whether they see action coming out of the dialogue. But where Vibrant Pittsburgh is going to be spending a good bit of his time is around the issue of advancement. Okay. If people don't see their ability to advance here, all of our efforts around attraction and retention will ultimately just sort of walk right out the door.
Coming up, we're going to look at how we turn those words into action. Final question for both of you. 5 years from now, we're sitting here. What do you hope to see has changed?
I hope to see us at the top of the list. I think Doug is right. There is something really quite amazing about the transformation that Pittsburgh has gone through. It's just that it didn't carry everybody with it. And if we could fix this, we could be a real, leader for the world. There are communities around the world that are struggling with communities that are being left behind and separated from the transformation. Why not let that be part of the legacy and story of Pittsburgh that we led on this issue? I think that would be a remarkable story and a major contribution to the country.
Doug Hoyt, you get the final word.
Well, we look at Pittsburgh in so many different ways and lenses at Pittsburgh today. And in so many ways, the region is doing so much better than it was when I started this project 20 years ago back at the Post-Gazette. One of the ways that we aren't doing as well is in how well African Americans are doing here. And again, these are big, broad numbers, regional numbers, so there are obviously differences among them. But, you know, having a more diverse workforce and more diverse region and being more welcoming and being more aware of that, I believe that will come as people become more aware and as time goes by and our economy kind of outperforms other regional economies and just by virtue of needing good workers, people are going to come. But I think we cannot afford to have African Americans in particular not feeling welcome here, doing well here, advancing here, you know, not succeeding in schools. I mean, they're not alone in that regard, but we need, that's kind of heavy lifting, but that's something that Pittsburgh can and is focusing its attention on. And I'd love to see those numbers change.
Doug Hoyt is director of Pittsburgh Today. Thank you for making it back into the studio. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Marcus. It's great to be here.
Melanie Harrington, CEO and president of Vibrant Pittsburgh. Thank you for returning to Essential Pittsburgh. We will talk again.
Thanks, Marcus. Thanks.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh is Inclusion and Illusion. Candy Casbury Singleton and William Jenrette Jr. on dignity, respect, and putting words into action. I'm Marcus Charleston, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.